This is CBS Eye on the World. Gordon Chang's here. I'm John Batchelor. And we go to our colleague, Ann Stevenson Yang, whose new book, Wild Ride, tells the story of the rise and fall of the Chinese miracle these last decades. We're now plunging into fresh territory, and we welcome Ann to comment on, one, Xi Jinping announces that he is traveling overseas for the first time in 2025. Significantly, he's stopping in Vietnam, Cambodia, and Malaysia, three states that have been alerted by the Secretary of Commerce, Mr. Lutnick, to please cease the transshipment of Japanese goods as if they're not coming, Chinese goods, as if they're not coming from China. I tell you, Anne, another anecdote that I have these last days since the Liberation Day. Phone calls to a colleague of mine who has business in the Pearl River Basin. He has a factory there. That their neighborhood, small manufacturers, electronics, you know it well, told him the first night of Liberation Day and repeated last week that they have no business. Their order books are blank. They cannot survive these tariffs, not even for a little bit. They're done. Now, that's an anecdote. Those things, do they add up to anything? Do they tell us where we're going, Anne? Good day to you.
Good day, John and Gordon. This is a really interesting portion of this is, and I think misunderstood or underinterpreted, which is the network effects associated with the tariffs. So you can, you know, Xi Jinping is making a diplomatic initiative throughout the world to Asia and Europe as well, and trying to redirect a lot of Chinese exports. And, you know, maybe he'll be successful with 15 or 20% of them, perhaps at a slightly lower cost, and perhaps 25% will continue to go to the U.S. one way or another. However, there are significant network effects, factory closures, unemployment, reduced consumption as a result of the unemployment, because you really can't take $440 billion in exports and turn them on a dime. These factories took decades to build up.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
So will these factories close? Will they sort of try to survive while things sort themselves out? Or where are the future of the export sector?
I think many of them will close because you know, you may get some subsidies, you may get some orders from Europe, but it's not going to fill your order book right away. And the factories already operate at fairly low margin. So I think many of them will close. We'll see layoffs, perhaps not on the scale of COVID, but close. And COVID, we don't have good statistics from China, but independent analysts have said that 50% of the rural labor force was unemployed during COVID. I think an awful lot of migrants are going to be going home, and we'll also see very high unemployment this year.
There was a headline in the New York Times above the fold over these last days. I cannot recover exactly the quote, but it was to the effect that the Chinese people have a weapon the U.S. people do not in a trade war, which is that they can tolerate levels of want that America cannot. Do you agree with that, Anne, that the Chinese have been unwillingly, but there it is, trained to be without more than America?
Yeah, I don't think it has a lot to do with what Chinese people can tolerate. I think it has to do with the political structure of China, which is highly verticalized and individualized, such that China is able to hold the whole economy hostage to, for example, an argument with Norway, which really should not have a big impact, or an argument with Australia or something like that. So yes, China can withstand more by becoming more impoverished, whereas the U.S. has more of a has to respond more to the way people feel.
Gordon, you have a question.
So what you're saying is the dictatorial nature of the political system that allows China to weather storms. It's not really the mentality of the Chinese people. Is that right?
I think that's correct, yes.
Gordon, your thoughts about that, what you say, provocative formula. They're tougher than we are. First of all, it's odd playground chatter, but I believe it, that it's possible. Did Xi Jinping, with that orders during COVID, did he survive that successfully? My read of the Chinese markets ever since, there's been a lot of distrust.
Well, he's still in power, so I guess you can say he's successful. I think that he lost some support, but he could afford to do that because he had, before the start of that, a lot of support throughout society. When you're the absolute leader and things are going well, as it was before COVID, you get a lot of credit. The problem for Xi Jinping, though, is that when you're the absolute leader and things are going poorly and people blame you because of your policies, then you're in trouble. And we are seeing signs of lack of support in the Chinese leadership, both civilian and military, to Xi Jinping's rule. So we shouldn't really be surprised. And just on this mentality of the Chinese people, I don't think that they're tougher than we are. And one of the reasons is they've never had a downturn, or most of them never have had a downturn. So I think they're bewildered and at a loss. And we can see some very strange behavior on the part of Chinese people to all sorts of hardship, like quote unquote retiring, young people going back to the countryside, laying flat, in other words, staying in your apartment. This is not the sign of a strong society.
And FT reports that the central government is supporting the market, but it acknowledges, FT, that the property market is in tatters and that the central government is endeavoring to encourage consumerism. Is that a possible plan that they have not acted upon, or have they already tried consumerism?
Yeah, that's never going to happen. In fact, consumption has declined as a portion of GDP. You would have to change really the whole political structure of China in order to improve consumption, and I think that's not going to happen. What is interesting is that as Xi Jinping makes this diplomatic initiative and also sues the United States at the WTO, you're seeing China act more like a real member of the international community rather than a rogue member, which it had been for so long.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Anne, where do you see the trade war in, let's say, 6 months?
Gosh, who can say? I mean, we can't say what the trade war is going to look like in 6 hours, considering that we had a statement Friday night after market closing that there would be massive exemptions. And then we had a statement Sunday that there won't be massive exemptions. So it's very hard to say. For China, honestly, it's a lose-lose proposition.
And I'm told that they have a window of maybe 10 to 12 weeks before Christmas is gone, dead. In that 10 to 12 weeks, what can the central government do for these small manufacturers who are Christmas?
Well, one of the interesting things about the crash of the property market and the default of property companies on international bonds is that the central government really doesn't have the resources anymore to create the sort of domestic boom that they did in 2009 in response to the 2008 crisis. So it really seems like exporters, small companies, the private economy, and Chinese laborers are kind of stuck.
Anne Stephenson Yang, she is the author of Wild Ride, which is the story of the rise and now tattered fall of the Chinese miracle these last decades. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.